The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Tech Tips. Coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips, we're going to continue our look at streaming video services with a look at both YouTube TV and Disney Plus. And to help you watch TV better, we're going to take a look at the Vision Buddy TV watching system. That's what's coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips. Last month, we started a series that takes a look at video streaming services that are accessible for people who are blind or have low vision. Here is part two of that series, and it is called Cutting the Cable Cord with YouTube TV. It comes to us from Access World Magazine, and it is written by Steve Kelly. Have you considered cutting the cable cord, replacing the cable box, and all the channels that came with the bundle, many of which you don't watch anyway, with various internet streaming services? It sounds like a great idea, one that will reduce the monthly cable bill. But it turns out that by the time you put it all together, the movies, local programming, sports, etc., you may reach the cost of the original cable service, or just get so bewildered by it all that you're ready to tie the cord back together again. YouTube TV may offer a quick, economical solution. For a flat rate of $65 a month, YouTube TV offers 85 broadcast and program networks. There's no contract, you pay by the month, and a 7 or 14-day free trial lets you check out the networks and programming offered and the accessibility features on your device. Getting started was relatively simple from tv.youtube.com using an existing Google username and password. After logging in, a prompt appeared for the 14-day free trial and a link to select additional add-ons to the basic $65 package. Add-ons ranged from $3 a month for CuriosityStream to $14.99 a month for HBO Max, with over 11 other premium services in between. Once you're registered, YouTube TV is available wherever you have access to high-speed internet, so you can dump the cable box and the associated bill and just keep the high-speed internet. YouTube TV is available through a web browser or an app on the computer, smartphone, or tablet. You can also download an app for your Apple TV or another smart TV that has internet access. Regardless of which device you're using, the user interface has many of the same elements, so it's easy to pick up another device and find what you're looking for. Regardless of device, the three main sections are home, library, and live. The home page features new shows, movies, and add-ons. The library page includes shows that you've added, purchased, or recorded for viewing at a later time. The live page is a schedule of what is currently playing on each network and a schedule of what's coming up next. It appears in a grid pattern with each network appearing as a row going across the columns, showing the time and name of the various programs. From the live page, a program can be viewed by selecting from the grid and viewing it as a live stream or adding it to the library as a recorded selection that can be accessed later from the library. For this review, I accessed YouTube TV from the web using the Chrome browser on an Android phone using the YouTube TV app downloaded from the Google Play Store, and on an Apple TV using an app downloaded from the App Store. All of the apps were free. When opening YouTube TV from both the web and the Apple TV, a preview immediately began playing, which made it difficult to hear the screen readers, narrator on Windows, and voiceover on the Apple TV. As I became more familiar with the layout, this became less of an issue, but I never discovered a way to turn off the preview volume. It was a relief to find the preview not playing from the app opened on the Android phone, which made it easier to navigate with TalkBack. The overall layout on the wider screen devices, the PC and the Apple TV, offered a much better view of the upcoming schedule visually and with a screen reader. Once a network like PBS was selected, tabbing or swiping to the right moved across the programming for the next several hours. on the Android app, the listing appeared to be a single column of only what was currently being broadcast. And swiping to the right just took you down the list to the next network. The list of networks in live mode can be customized in each of the interfaces, and each device seems to offer different levels of customization. For example, the Apple TV allowed shows to be sorted A to Z or by category, drama, news, etc. On the Android, rarely used networks can be removed, and you can reposition networks in an edit mode by dragging them within the list. This feature, however, did not work with TalkBack. These differences in features were also found in other areas. For example, a terrific feature on the Apple TV app and the web interface is the ability to customize the closed captioning. The font size can be increased, color and transparency can be altered, etc. On the Android app, it appears that closed captioning may be turned off or on, but it is set to a default font size in white letters. Now, let's talk audio description. Some stations support audio description, and this appears to be more a function of the station than YouTube TV. For an updated list of audio described programming, check out the Guide to Accessing YouTube TV's Audio Description, an appendix to the Audio Description Project. If audio description is available on a station or program on one device, it also seems to be available on YouTube TV across platforms. This too varies slightly across devices. With the program streaming, opening the menu for the program offers options like closed captioning and an audio menu. By default, the audio is on primary. Switching to secondary turns on audio description for those services and programs that support it. On the Apple TV app and the web interface, turning on the secondary audio for one station did not change it across all stations. Each one had to be turned on individually. On the Android app, however, turning secondary audio on for one station seems to switch it on for all of them. On the Android app, secondary audio, once turned on, will remain on if the app is closed and reopened. According to the guide for accessing YouTube TV's audio description, if a program has audio description, this is also recorded when the program is recorded in the library and is available during playback. It would be really helpful if one of the sorting options in the live mode included the ability to sort together all the programming that offered audio description. However, this is not currently one of the categories. One of the great options on YouTube TV is a simple-to-use DVR feature that enables programs to be recorded and saved in the library. Just pick the individual broadcast or select the series. These recordings are then stored in the library where they can be watched, resaved, or deleted after watching. Recordings do not take up space on the user's device. They are saved in the YouTube TV cloud, so as long as you have access to the internet and a current user account, you can access the recordings in the library. One of the best features here is that there is no limit to storage, and most programs can be saved for up to 9 months, assuming the subscription is maintained during that time. As a Google product, YouTube TV can work with the Google Assistant to make it respond to voice commands such as, "Hey Google, play the latest episode of Grey's Anatomy on YouTube TV," or "Play MSNBC on YouTube TV." This feature was not set up during this review, so I was unable to test it. For complete instructions, check out Play YouTube TV using your speaker or display and Chromecast from Google Support. Overall, YouTube TV's features appear to be mostly accessible over the three devices I tested. Closed captioning had great features on both the web and Apple TV app. Audio description was supported and easy to find in the settings when it was available on the programming. For the infrequent TV movie watcher, the 85 channels and the $65 a month subscription rate may not be the best solution. If you just live on Hulu and Netflix programming, it will be cheaper to just subscribe to those individually. For TV and movie watchers looking for more channel surfing, YouTube TV may be a great, simple, cost-saving alternative, and it works on virtually any device you might have. It's also hard to beat a 14-day free trial. As a footnote, at the time of this recording, YouTube and NBC were in negotiations concerning YouTube's continued offering of NBC programming. If NBC and its various networks are among your favorite programming choices, you will want to check YouTube's website to view their current channel lineup. And in a nice little addition to our story on YouTube TV, YouTube is improving video accessibility for both viewers with vision loss and other languages. This little article comes to us courtesy of Cool Blind Tech. The company is testing the option of adding multiple audio tracks to videos. This will help with international viewers, but it should also enable descriptive audio for people with some to no vision. This arrives sometime in the coming months, YouTube said. Automatic captions should also be far more commonplace. YouTube now permits live automatic captions for any live stream in English, not just for those with 1,000 or more subscribers. These live captions will be available for all 13 supported auto-captioning languages in the coming months. Auto-translated captions will also reach supported languages on Android and iOS later in 2021, so you won't have to turn to your PC to make sense of a video you don't understand. An experiment later in 2021 will let you search transcripts on your phone, YouTube added. A previously promised subtitle editor is still on track to launch in the coming months, giving creators the chance to delegate subtitle creation to someone they trust. The upgrades make sense. YouTube is increasingly dependent on a global audience for views, particularly with the growth of live streaming. These tweaks ensure more people can watch, even if a creator does not have the resources to add subtitles themselves. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. And now, part three of our video streaming services series. It's entitled, The Accessibility of the Disney Plus Streaming Service. It's written by Janet Ingber, and it comes to us courtesy of Access World Magazine. Disney Plus is a streaming service from the Walt Disney Company that allows you to access content on your iOS device or desktop computer. Many other devices are also supported. The service goes far beyond animated features to offer a wealth of movies and series with audio description for children and adults. For this article, I used an iPhone X with the latest version of iOS 14 and a 2016 MacBook Pro with Mac OS Big Sur. Disney Plus has a help page and an extensive list of help topics and FAQs. Further down the page, there are links to chat or call. No phone number is displayed. Instead, there is a form to tell them more about the issue. I entered Find Content with Audio Description, which returned a number for me to call, 1-888-905-7888. According to the Disney Plus website, support is available 24/7. Disney Plus does not have a way to sort by audio description. The American Council of the Blind has an extensive website to finding content with audio description. The Disney Plus audio description page also contains links for audio described titles from other streaming services. Other services include Netflix, Hulu, and Apple TV Plus. The website also has information about audio description not related to streaming services. Disney Plus works very well on an iOS device. If I am using the app by myself, I usually put the audio through a Bluetooth speaker. If I am watching with people who are sighted, I'll use an HDMI to Lightning cable to play content through the TV. Disney Plus hosts content from Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. Titles include recent releases as well as classic movies and TV shows. To begin, you will need to download the free Disney Plus app. At least iOS 12.0 or iPad OS 12.0 is required. In the United States, a subscription to Disney Plus costs $7.99 per month or $79.99 per year. Disney Plus also offers Premier Access, allowing access to content that is not yet available to all subscribers. It currently costs an additional $29.99 per year. In addition, there is a Disney bundle option that includes Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and whichever Hulu plan you choose. The Hulu plan with ads costs $13.99 per month. Without ads, it costs $19.99 per month. To begin the process of creating a Disney Plus account, go to the Disney Plus website. On the next page is a Sign Up Now link. When I activated it, nothing happened. Further down the page are two links for choosing whichever plan you want. The first link is Get All Three, which leads to the Disney Bundle, Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and whichever Hulu plan you choose. The second link is Sign Up for Disney Plus Only. The sign-up form is spread over several pages. Below where you enter your email address is a checkbox for receiving emails from the Disney company. It is checked by default. When you launch Disney Plus, VoiceOver says Disney Plus. Near the top of the screen is a carousel. Next is a list of providers: Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. Selecting one of these options brings up a list of content. For example, when I selected Marvel, I got a list of Marvel Studios productions, including Black Panther, Doctor Strange, and Ant-Man and the Wasp. Next are sections that can be navigated by topic headings, including Recommended for You, New to Disney Plus, and Continue Watching. This last section contains any movie or episode that you have not completed watching. There are additional headings that are navigated the same way. Each heading has a list of content that fits the heading's criteria. At the bottom of the screen are four tabs: Home, Search, Offline Downloads, and More Options. The home screen is one that contains all the information listed above. The search tab offers the standard search form. As you type your query, results will begin to show underneath the box. Below the search form is an extensive list of search categories, including Princesses, Disney Animation Studios, Marvel's Avengers, and National Geographic Animals. Selecting one of these categories brings up a list of results. The Offline Downloads section is where your downloads are located. To download content, find and select something you want. There will be three options below the title on the screen: Play, Add the content title to your watch list, and Download the current title to your offline downloads. The final tab is More Options. In this tab, you can access your watch list and settings. You can also modify profiles. On the new screen, use the first section to access, create, or edit your profile. Create a profile by selecting the Add Profile button. At the top of the new screen, there are options to select an avatar or go back to the home screen. Next is an extensive list of avatars grouped into headings, including Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, and Kids. The name of each character within the headings is spoken by VoiceOver. For example, the first two options under the Disney heading were Mickey Mouse and Elsa. VoiceOver said their names. The next control is an edit box for your name. The next item in the tab is Watch List. Your content will be saved there. Next are app settings. Here is where you choose whether to stream over Wi-Fi only or to use cellular as well. The same options will be listed for downloads. The next is Account. Here is where you can choose whether to pay monthly or annually. Toward the bottom of the screen is a Help option. This will bring you to the Disney Plus Help Center. Toward the bottom of the screen are options to chat or call. Once you have selected a show or movie to play, double tap on it. The next screen will present information about your selection and give you several playing options. At the top of the screen are buttons to play, add the title to your watch list, or download the title. Next is information about the show or movie. Near the bottom of the screen are three tabs: Suggested, Extras, and Details. For series, there is an additional Episodes tab before the Suggested tab. You will need to flick up with three fingers in order to discover the content of each tab. At the very bottom of the screen are the usual Home, Search, Offline Downloads, and More Tabs tab. When you press the play button, a new screen will load and VoiceOver will say Landscape. You will need to position your iPhone with the charge port on the right. On occasion, the first time I tried to play content, VoiceOver did not speak. Reloading the content solved the problem. At the far left of the screen is a back button. Flicking right, the next control is an unlabeled button. It is used for AirPlay. Next is the Audio and Subtitles menu button. Select this button and then flick right until you hear English audio description. Select this option and audio description will begin. The close button is in the upper left. When you play other content, if English audio description has been selected previously, you will not need to select it again unless you have turned it off. Next to the menu button is another unlabeled button. Use it to rewind. Next is the play pause button. The next button is also unlabeled. This is for going forward. Next is how much time has elapsed and how much time remains. Finally, there is a control to advance or move backward through the content. VoiceOver says adjustable. Flick up or down with one finger to make the adjustment. Using Disney Plus on the web. The first time you use your username and password to log in, the new screen will ask for your email address and that you agree with Disney's terms. When the new screen loads, enter your password. Right below the edit box is an unlabeled button. Selecting it lets VoiceOver say what you were typing in the edit box. The main screen starts with Who's Watching? Make your selection. There are many headings on the screen, including New to Disney Plus, Trending, and Recommended for You. Select your show or movie. On the new screen is a play button. Select it, and a video player with labeled controls will be on the screen. To the left of the player is a Settings button. If audio description is not playing, select the Settings button, then VO plus right arrow until you hear English audio description. Next, VO plus left arrow once, and you should be on the button to activate audio description. When done, go left to the close option. This will put you back on the page with controls. You can also use Command plus left bracket. It will bring you back to the page preceding the controls. In conclusion, Disney Plus has many described series and movies for people of all ages. Both the iOS and web versions work well, but they are not perfect. Some controls in the iOS version are not labeled. The Disney Plus website does take some work to master, but it is usable. I personally prefer the iOS version. As a footnote, Disney Plus is also available on other devices, including Roku, Google Chrome, and Amazon Alexa. It is also available on most smart TVs. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. With all this talk of streaming TV services, if you have low vision and have been wanting to take advantage of these streaming services, I've got something for you. This article is entitled Vision Buddy enables people with low vision to watch TV again. It comes to us courtesy of Cool Blind Tech. The tech startup Vision Buddy is designed to help individuals with low vision maintain or improve their independence and conduct their daily activities with ease. It's an assistive device that is specifically designed to be the world's first easy-to-use, dedicated television watching system for people with limited vision. Vision Buddy is a VR-style headset equipped with robust features that help people with vision loss see more clearly and go about a range of daily activities, from watching their favorite TV programs to adjusting the thermostat with convenience. Setting up and using the television watching system is fairly simple. Connect it to your cable TV box and start watching your favorite TV programs. It can support any cable or TV provider box, such as Comcast, Dish Network, DirecTV, and streaming devices like Roku, Fire TV Stick, and Apple TV. To get started with Vision Buddy, connect the HDMI cable out from your TV box to the Vision Buddy transmitter's HDMI in port. Then, turn on your headset and you're good to go. The device will automatically connect to your streaming device so you can start watching or streaming videos. Switching to and from the magnification and camera mode is as simple as clicking a button. It has 10 zoom levels that you can access by simply pressing the plus and minus buttons on the side of the headset. Despite its robust look, it's surprisingly lightweight at only 0.6 pounds on your face. This way, users won't have to worry about being restricted while using the device. You can carry the device with you to the grocery store, to the park, or to the museum, and enjoy seeing things with more clarity. You only need to plug the Vision Buddy hub to your cable box or any video device with HDMI output, and you're ready to enjoy your favorite shows and channels directly to Vision Buddy. Sounds are streamed directly to the Vision Buddy headset, so you can listen to the audio directly from the headset or with headphones, thus giving you a fully immersive viewing experience. With Vision Buddy, you'll be able to directly stream and see TV shows up to 40 feet away, so you can sit back and relax on the couch. One of its best features is it works with any TV setup, so users won't have to configure their existing setup to accommodate Vision Buddy. It also doesn't require a Wi-Fi connection or any downloads for apps. Simply put, it's a plug-and-play system that is easy to set up and even easier to use. Another unique feature of this state-of-the-art television watching system is it can be connected to any digital whiteboard or monitor. Moreover, users can stream their favorite programs or shows to the headset while still allowing others to watch them on the TV or on other devices that Vision Buddy is connected to. The latest version, Vision Buddy V2, can stream any channel or show directly to its screen in 4K full HD resolution. It also has improved camera support, featuring a 16-bit megapixel camera that lets users see clearer images. The V2 has also undergone improvements on all of its three viewing modes, giving the device increased clarity when using the reading and magnification mode and advanced rendering and image display. Vision Buddy has three modes that users can toggle according to their needs. As a TV watching system, it can connect to any cable or satellite provider, and even streaming services like Amazon Fire TV Stick, Apple TV, and Roku Player. As a magnifier, which has zoom in and zoom out capabilities up to 10x, and as an OCR, the television watching system also has a built-in optical character recognition feature that enables the device to automatically read aloud books, newspapers, medicine labels, and more. This television watching system has enabled users around the world to see more clearly. It can be used to assist individuals with eye conditions such as macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, glaucoma, and Stargardt disease. The company has partnered with four global organizations, namely the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, Vision Australia, the International Academy of Low Vision Specialists, and Chicago Lighthouse, to spread the reach of Vision Buddy around the world. In the spirit of continuous innovation and research, they're currently working on building more partnerships with other organizations focused on aiding individuals with low vision. While Vision Buddy is a newcomer in the field of assistive technology, its continuous innovation and evolution have helped more users experience augmented vision, empowering them to enjoy their independence with confidence and help improve their quality of life. If you are interested in learning more about the Vision Buddy V2, I did find it on one website. The website was lssproducts.com. They are taking pre-orders for the Vision Buddy V2, and they have the list price at $2,995. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Tech Tips is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.